It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot.
Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And as we are just days away from the NFL draft, welcome back one of my favorite people to talk draft with. You heard him throughout the football season coming on as a guest and even giving his shorter draft reports, keeping us surprised on who we should have our eyes out for as the draft got closer. Now that it's here, he's back to join the show again. Senior draft analyst over at WalterFootball.com, my buddy Charlie Campbell. Charlie, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Great to be with you again, Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing great. As you know, Charlie, I'm a Jets fan, and the draft is the Jets' time to shine. They haven't actually used it in a positive way in the last bunch of years for the most part, but it's when we get the most excited because our hopes and dreams haven't been crushed yet. So I wanted to bring you on so we could talk about some of the guys that the Jets should be targeting heavily as we get ready for the draft on Thursday. And I want to start at the position that everybody has circled as their number one position that the Jets are going to get. And that, of course, the number two pick, they're going to use it on a quarterback. We're all assuming it's Zach Wilson. Talk to me about Zach Wilson. What do you think there? Is it the right move? Would you go in a different direction? And how do you think he stacks up against the other quarterbacks, notwithstanding Trevor Lawrence, who's obviously going first to the Jaguars?
Well, I mean, the Jets have done all their due diligence. I can tell you from talking with sources there that throughout the different sets of draft meetings, you know, teams hold draft meetings where they bring in all their scouts at different times throughout the year. And so at the early meetings this year, they had talks about all kinds of different scenarios and how the team would pan out and look like roster-wise, talent-wise, what the strengths would be, what the weaknesses would be. So they went through every scenario. They talked about how would we look if we took Kyle Pitts at two and built around Sam or Penei Sewell or, you know, what about moving on from Sam? Who are the quarterbacks? You know, what would be the, who would be a good franchise quarterback for us? Obviously, they go through, they discussed Mac Jones and Fields and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, all these guys. And the day two guys as well, in case if they wanted to take position players and then take competition for Darnold on day two. So they went through everything they possibly could, took their time, made sure they really thought things through. And at the end of the day, Zach Wilson was just the guy for them that I think at the bottom line was, Joe Douglas wanted to reset the quarterback position, the contract, have that amazing gift that is a starting quarterback on a rookie five-year deal that makes him really cheap and allows you to spend luxuriously around the rest of the roster and free agency because you have a cheap starting quarterback. So he also felt, I think, with the new coaching staff, they wanted a guy for them to start out with, to build around, that there's no question he's the future and the franchise quarterback, and the player, not like a situation where if Sam Darnold came back and they didn't take a quarterback, the questions would be, well, is Darnold going to finally turn the corner? Are we going to be back in the quarterback market next year? You know, that would have been the question over the franchise. Now that's settled, they're going to take Zach Wilson. He's their future franchise quarterback. I think he's a fine first-round pick. I personally like Justin Fields a little bit more, but New York and the situation there, I can see where you might feel that Zach Wilson might be a better fit in terms of there's a lot of pressure there. There's not a lot of patience. Justin Fields needs more developmental time, and Zach Wilson is more ready to play. And so from the pressure standpoint, I think that Zach Wilson, you can see where that makes sense. Yeah, I personally like Fields a little more, but, you know, these guys get paid by NFL teams. I don't. So their opinion is what matters. They know football better than I do. So they believe in Wilson, and he's their guy.
From talking to other people around the league, what's the consensus you got about these quarterbacks?
Well, it really isn't too much of a consensus. It varies. I mean, some teams like Trey Lance a good amount. Others are really sour on him and feel the field vision and needs a lot of work and the level of competition. He's a huge developmental project. Others say he's really smart, obviously has a lot of physical talent, and they like him more than Justin Fields. So really it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Obviously the consensus about Trevor Lawrence being number one, there's no debate on that. Zach Wilson is generally the consensus number two. I've talked to some scouts that prefer Fields. But overall across the league, Wilson's the consensus number two quarterback. And then after that, it really just it varies by team. So whether it's Fields or Lance, and then, you know, there's some out there media saying out there Mac Jones. I haven't heard that from any one scout or team yet that they, you know, are super high on him that way. But maybe the 49ers are. But definitely this is a year where there's a lot of variety when you have, you know, these four or five potential first round picks at that position.
Charlie, let's talk about what the Jets could do to help Zach Wilson after they draft him at number two, because they're going to need some offensive linemen. They're going to need some wide receivers, and they're certainly going to need an upgrade at running back as well. You know that the Jets have the 23rd pick, the 34th pick. They pick at 66. Then they've got a fourth rounder, two fifths, two sixths. So plenty of capital to build around Zach Wilson. We hear a lot about Tevin Jenkins. We hear a lot about Elijah Vera Tucker, that those are two guys that the Jets could zero in on. Maybe they trade up a little bit. Maybe they wait to see if those guys fall to number 23. What do you think would be a good option at number 23? And even beyond that, what would you do in terms of the offensive players that they're going to need to add at 34, 66, and beyond? Who would you be looking at specifically if you were the New York Jets?
Well, I don't think Vera Tucker is going to get to 23. I think he's going to go in the mid-teens at probably the lowest. I don't think he'd fall past the Raiders at 17. But after him, I think Alex Leatherwood would be a player that could make sense. The left tackle at Alabama, he also played guard and right tackle there, really has good length and ability to play on the edge. He can play the typewriter with his feet, cut off that speed rush around the corner. And he definitely has got a lot of experience from his time at Alabama, played in a lot of big games, a lot of pressure packed moments for. So I think he would be a really nice option. I'm not sure he'll get past the Colts at 21. If they wanted one of those guys or Tevin Jenkins, they may have to move up a little bit to jump in front of Indianapolis, potentially, as the Colts need to replace Anthony Costanzo. But there's a lot of teams that could go offensive line there. Washington at 19, Chicago at 20. I mentioned the Raiders at 17 and above them as well, the Chargers, Vikings. That's just a lot of spots. So it might be tough to make a deal there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they hit it in the 34th pick. I could see Dylan Radunz, the North Dakota State offensive tackle, being a nice fit for the Jets. He could play guard. He could play tackle. You could move him around, and he could just help you fill out that line. So, and also on day two, Jackson Carman from Clemson has a great skill set, needs development. Jalen Mayfield from Michigan, Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame. All those guys could be potential candidates in the second round. So that might be a nice value for the Jets to get one of those guys without having to trade up and give up another player to move up for one of these other offensive linemen. So that leaves you with some flexibility there at 23. And as you hit on, Scott, they could use help in the backfield. They could use help at wide receiver. I think Kadarius Toney from Florida, that speed, explosive receiver, dangerous with the ball in his hands, would make a lot of sense in that offense they brought in, that 49ers offense. Toney could be a similar to a Deebo Samuel type weapon in that scheme. So I think he would be a candidate there at 23. And then you know, have some it's a really good receiver draft, so you'd have other good players to consider, whether it's Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. He could, you know, get some consideration. Terrace Marshall from LSU, Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. Lots of good receiving weapons there that'll go in the late first, potentially to through the second round and into the third. So they have a lot of options. I think running back, I'm not sure from what I've heard that they really would put a premium on using one of their high picks for that position. I'm not convinced from what I've heard they would do that. I do personally really like Travis Etienne as far as helping their young quarterback and Zach Wilson, because Etienne is such an awesome weapon on checkdowns, a guy that can really turn, be a real weapon on third and five, third and six, because he's such a good route runner and such a mismatch weapon. So he can take that checkdown and turn it into a first down routinely. So I really like that for a young quarterback. But I just, from what I'm hearing, I'm not sure the Jets are going to go running back that early. I think it might be more of a position that gets looked at in, say, the third round with some of these bigger power kind of bell cow guys like Trey Sermon from Ohio State or Ramondre Stevenson from Oklahoma, Kylan Hill from Mississippi State. I think Kylan Hill could definitely be in play for that third round pick for the Jets at 66. So, you know, that's one strength. And then they have that other pick at 86 as well in the third round. So they have a few picks there that could help them in the backfield with some solid backs.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Charlie, we talked about offense, so now let's talk about defense. I think they're going to use a lot of picks on the offensive side of the ball, but I also think that they're going to look to bolster the defense too. Cornerback is a position of particular need. I've talked a lot about Greg Newsome as a possibility at number 23. If he makes it there, maybe Asante Samuel Jr. in the second round at 34. There are other guys. Tyson Campbell is somebody that you heard Eric Crocker talk about on this show as a possible second or third round pick if he makes it to the third round. They could use an edge rusher. We know that as well. If one of the guys that they like at offensive line or corner doesn't make it to 23, maybe they go that route. Maybe an Azeez Ojulari or Joseph Asai or somebody like that. And then it goes well beyond the first round, obviously. They're going to be looking for corner help. They're going to be looking for guys on the edge. They need somebody who's an off-ball linebacker, too, because all they have is C.J. Mosley and Jarrad Davis. Davis was very much an underachiever in Detroit, and C.J. Mosley hasn't played in 2 years. So a lot of help that they're going to need, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball. Who would you be looking to target here?
Well, I mean, as far as the cornerback position goes, they have two picks that are sitting in right good position for that, with that pick at 23 and then the pick at 34. Now, I know a few teams have Tyson Campbell as their fourth-rated cornerback, so I would be shocked if he got to the third round. I think in my latest mock draft that's going up here Monday, April 26th, I have the Jets taking him at 23, but that's a strong part of the draft for cornerback talent, whether it's Greg Newsome, Aaron Robinson from UCF, or Eric Stokes from Georgia. All of those guys could be in contention to go from 20 to, say, pick, you know, 35 to 40 range. Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky is another corner that has a good skill set that could get consideration there. Asante Samuel as well, if you're really looking for a true slot corner, given that he's really undersized. But the other guys, Campbell, Newsom, Aaron Robinson, Stokes, Joseph, all those guys are big and fast and athletic. So those are some really good options. I think it would make sense to take a corner at 23 and then take one of the offensive linemen at 34. I think that would make the best for the best value for their picks in terms of getting a starting cornerback in the first round and then getting some offensive line help early in the second, as you draw on two positions that are pretty strong at that point of the draft. So I think that'll help the roster and build up the talent across the board.
So overall, what would you be looking to do if you were the Jets here in terms of distribution of the picks? Would you try to keep it somewhat even offensive and defense based on what you know of the talent level on both sides of the ball and what the Jets' needs are?
I would probably lean towards making this draft a bit more on the offensive side, because I think that the talent is better on that side of the ball in this draft. The interior defensive line talent in this draft is bad. It's just not good. Unfortunately for the Jets, they really don't need it, with Quinn and Williams on the verge of being a dominant potential superstar player, signing Sheldon Rankins. You got Futakasi as well. So they're solid on the interior, the defensive line, And that's great, because they wouldn't be able to find much help in this draft. So, and then with, you know, adding some depth there at linebacker with Davis, and then obviously signing Carl Lawson, that's a huge addition to this front seven, really should help them get after the quarterback. And with the bringing in a new quarterback, a guy who's going from BYU and lost to Coastal Carolina last year, I think you need to help him out. So I think they need to really give more talent and depth to that offense, whether it's, you know, depth at receiver with weapons, because injuries always happen. You're going to have receivers, running backs get hurt. So build up the depth there so he has stuff to work with over the course of a season, make his job easier, build up some more offensive line talent, get some guys with flexibility. You could always kick George Fant inside the guard if you wanted, but it wouldn't hurt to have some offensive linemen there potentially on day two that could play guard or right tackle, just really help fill out that offensive line and help you move guys around to just get that best five out there in front of him, because it's a huge jump in competition. BYU played a really soft schedule last year, not through any fault of their own. It was because of the pandemic, but nevertheless, Zach Wilson's making a big jump in what he's going against from year to year. So I think drawing on the strength of the draft with offensive line help, getting some running back talent, receiving, it's a good receiver draft. And then maybe you add like one cornerback, but the rest of the kind of early top half picks are mostly on the offensive side of the ball. That's the kind of plan I would lean towards if I was Joe Douglas.
Charlie, based on that plan, which players do you think that the Jets need to land, or give me a handful that you think they need to land for you to come away from this and go on walterfootball.com with your draft report and give them really high marks, maybe an A or an A+. Who are some names that you think they could land that would really make this a home run draft for them at the picks that they have?
That's a good question. Well, obviously, starting at 23, I would really consider hard the cornerbacks there. Obviously, Tyson Campbell we've talked about, but I really like Aaron Robinson and Eric Stokes. Those two are both big, fast, and fluid, where they can run the route, prevent separation. Greg Newsom is a heck of a football player, but he is just – he never finished a season at Northwestern. He was always getting hurt. And he's a physical player. You love him when he's on the field because he throws his body around. He's tough. He plays hard, really good player, but I just have real concerns about given his style of play and the size that the injuries will continue when he's getting into a game that's even more physical and more, you know, violent, bigger, faster than it was in the Big Ten. So that worries me about him. So if I were them, I would look at more of Campbell, Stokes, or Newsome at 23. Then in the 34 range, I personally really like Travis Etienne. I think if they've kind of kept it under wraps and the interest in a running back, but I think that would be a great pick for them to give some explosiveness and speed out of the backfield, but also give your young quarterback a real weapon on check down passes, on those easy throws that defenses give you. And now you have a guy that can really make something out of nothing. So I think that would be an A-plus pick there for the Jets at 34. But if they go another route, I think offensive line there would be good value for them. I'd applaud pretty much any of the offensive line prospects that are being talked about at that range of the draft. And then in the third round, I think continuing to help on offense, running back, say Kylan Hill from Mississippi State, if you didn't take ETN, would be a really good pick. He's tough. He showed improvement in the passing game. I think he could be one of the steals of this draft. But other good, but like Trey Sermon from Ohio State, I think that could be a nice pick. And then I really like Trey McKitty, the tight end from Georgia. I think they could use more mismatch receiving tight ends. Trey McKitty is kind of like a bigger Jonnu Smith or Jared Cook, but he's a real sneaky sleeper in this draft that I think could be a really nice value because he's a dangerous receiving tight end, good size, speed, athletic, really able to make some things happen in terms of being a mismatch weapon. So at pick 86, I think that would be a great pick for the Jets. I'd give that an A+. So, you know, hitting the offense on day two, whether it, as we talked about the receivers as well, you could go that route. But I think that's really where they're going to get some good value and help their young franchise quarterback for years to come.
I like it, Charlie. That's why you're one of the best out there. Charlie Campbell, senior draft analyst for WalterFootball.com. Thank you so much for coming on. As always, really appreciate it. We'll have to do it again afterwards so that you can grade their actual picks. In the meantime, though, you are very busy right now. This is your busiest time of year. You've got so much going on over at WalterFootball.com. New stuff every day, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have 7-round mocks getting updated daily here the week of the draft. I have draft rumors going up each day from talking around, seeing what I'm hearing, passing that along. So all of that's going up every day. And of course, we got tons of scouting reports and position rankings up on the site and more going up every day. So we got the amount of draft coverage up there. It will take eons to read it all, but whatever you're interested in, we have it. And of course, draft rumors, what's being taught, the media, we have it all consolidated into one page. So whatever they're saying on NFL Network or ESPN, we put it all in one place. So you can keep tabs on all of that and pre-draft visits, sweep tracking who these teams are met with over Zoom and things like that. So we got it all right there. So just go to Walter Football. We'll take care of you.
There you go. Make sure you head over to WalterFootball.com and check out everything that Charlie is doing over there. Incredible, comprehensive draft coverage year-round, but now is when you really dig in and get the information. And as Charlie said, it could take you months to read all of this stuff. So if you haven't been checking it out, go there now. If you have, but you're just not up to date, make sure that you keep up to date by going over there every day and clicking on the updates that Charlie is providing. And make sure that you give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you haven't done that yet. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.